Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 29-22 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Steve, I think we should skip right to the end of the game. Maybe we can get back later to what happened earlier. But at the end of the Falcons 49ers game, that was just crazy to have one touchdown reversed and then they say no touchdown. And then to have another one, the Julio Jones, which turns out to be the game winner, touchdown. At first they say, no, he didn't break the plane. But then upon further review, he did break the plane. Man, those were close calls. And in the end, the 49ers end up losing.
Exactly. But I will say that I think they got them both right. After further review, Hooper did drop it, touched it, it hit the ground, bounced back up into his hands.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like on replay, maybe he trapped it against his foot, but it had touched the ground. And what looked like a great play on the last play, I would say yes, the ball. And after further review, the ball had broken the plane. It was a touchdown, but it was, obviously a heck of a play by the defender. I don't remember who it was, to be honest. Good throw, good catch, good tackle, and he was just barely over.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing because the 49ers had a 19-10 lead there with 10 minutes to go, but they give up those two touchdowns.
Yeah, the last one, that's a fluke. I mean, the only loss on that were the people who bet the under and then lost to the over.
yeah, that was just a crazy fluke.
but since we started at the end, let's have a discussion about, I'm not bringing it up. I'm not being critical of Kyle, but it may sound that way. So I had said, Christoph and I were sitting together at the end of the game, and I said, all right, we need a 5-minute drive, and we don't have to have points because we can't give Matty Ice the ball back, period.
No.
I mean, he's going to do what he did. And so fourth and two, maybe a long one, when he kicked the field goal, there's 2 minutes to go.
I've got it right here. It was fourth and one. It was a minute 52 to go, and they kicked a 43-yard field goal. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you go for it?
Put the game away at that point. Yeah.
If you don't get it, defense still got to stop them. If you miss the field goal, the defense still got to stop them. Yes, they only need a field goal to win, but you're counting on your defense. You get the number one defense in the National Football League, or top five. I don't know exactly where they are, but I don't know, food for thought. Like, Christoph and I were like, in my mind, like, probably should go for it.
I agree. I mean, you have a chance to put the game away right there. You're going to put the game away rather than giving them a chance to score a touchdown.
Score a touchdown, exactly. It's and my my argument with Christoph is I went back to me talking Mike Holmgren into allowing Denver to score to end of the Super Bowl so we could get the ball back. It's not the exact scenario, but it's. But from the other side, where we needed to get the ball, like, okay, let them score. And we're going to have to score a touchdown and get a two-point conversion to tie it up. But it gave us the ball.
Yeah. It's one of those strategy things that it could work out in your favor if you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't. We stalled on the drive. But I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the, as Christoph said, what the quant guys have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is a factor of you're thinking that your defense has a better chance of stopping them from scoring a touchdown. You've got a great defense. You know, they play pretty well. Rather than, you know, if they can get to even like the 35-yard line, they're going to kick a field goal to win the game. Now, that's assuming you don't get it on 4th-and-1. You have to have confidence in your offense that you could get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not being critical. I could go either way there because again, kick the field goal and put your defense out there. They're we both offense and defense had an opportunity to win the game. I mean, you're playing 4-minute football. We've talked about it 100 times. Everybody in the stadium knows you're going to run the ball, but guess what? You have to run the ball.
Right.
The only other thing to that I would say was, and I would say this is being critical, is Kyle should have used that timeout sooner to try and preserve some more time on the clock as they were driving. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I remember saying, we should call timeout right there. It was maybe about 50 seconds, 45 seconds. They were moving.
To allow yourself some time at the end there, yeah.
Yeah, it was a pass, if I remember correctly. Well, most of the passes were to Julio Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember it was kind of a short gain, and I thought, okay. We should use it there. Save some time. Anyway, this is a conversation more than anything.
Yeah. Well, it's just a crushing defeat the way it turns out. But
it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Bottom line.
But if you're the 49ers, you got to figure that you could do a little more offensively. Yeah, George Kittle had a great game outside of fumbling that ball there that it could have been the first down. Just prior to what you were talking about. But other than that, I mean, the guy was amazing and the only real offensive force the 49ers had. He had 13 catches, 134 yards. The rest of the team didn't do much. It was the same thing with the Falcons, though. I mean, they were all Julio Jones, so you can't really say, you're going to lose a game just because you focus on one player. But for the 49ers, you just expected more out of their offense, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you – My impression during the game was we didn't really do anything bad. We just necessarily didn't do anything great. You know, we didn't make a lot of plays. I would say other than Kittle. So then when I looked at it the other night after the game. On Sunday night after the game, statistically, I mean, it's almost identical. To me, the difference is, the only difference was they were like 7 for 13 on third down, and we were like 5 for 13 on third and fourth down.
Yeah, which definitely, that always is a big factor. It's always a key stat. Another thing is that the 49ers really didn't have too many big runs. They had that one run by Coleman, which was a big one. That was 37 yards. But other than that, the running backs couldn't really get free. Like normally you see, Mostert or Breida kind of break one. And Breida really didn't have many carries. I wonder if he's healthy. I mean, I wonder about his ankle.
He didn't seem healthy.
No.
He didn't have a lot of runs. There was one particular run. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but he just didn't look like he had the burst that he usually has.
And there were a couple of drops again. Kind of goes back to that Seahawks game, that was really bad. That's where they had a bunch. But this time, there were a couple of they looked like easy catches for Bourne and for Samuel, and they just dropped them. And that's been happening during the year. I thought they got away from that recently, but those were a little frustrating.
I'm not remembering the Bourne drop. Debo one, I do remember.
He might
still be running.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, sometimes with a receiver, the Bourne one wasn't 100% the easiest catch you ever saw, and he had to use his hands.
Okay.
But sometimes I wonder, Steve, just as far as the fundamentals of it, I guess you always want to use your hands first, but with the Samuel one, it was just one of those, it's right there in his breadbasket. He's using his hands almost like he was trying to do too much with his hands.
I didn't get to see that. I saw it live, so I didn't necessarily see a replay. I didn't show one in the stadium. My guess at the time was that it got in on his body quicker than he thought it was going to. Most likely, he probably just turned away from it just a split second too soon.
Yeah.
Looking, because he was looking to run. I mean, he knew he had a lot of running room.
Here's the other thing. There was one where Jimmy's trying to throw to Kittle, and he doesn't really cut to the corner. He kind of just stops. And it seems like some of Kittle's routes, it's not really a route. It's sort of like, you just sit there. And I know that tight ends do that a lot, but it seemed like the Falcons were reading that quite a bit too, where, Jimmy's throwing to a spot there, and they just know that Kittle's going to be sitting there, I guess because they're keying on him, right?
Right, right. I mean, that's something they're picking up in film study. You have to give Atlanta credit for that. Quinn knows Kyle too. I mean, he knows Kyle's offense.
Yeah.
He knows his thought process on calling plays too. That's an advantage for the defense. I mean, Kyle knows Quinn's habits as well, but it was a really good game. We just came out on the short end of it.
Yeah, I mean, and you know how it works. I mean, you have a team that's got a losing record, although the Falcons, we talked about, they were playing well coming into this game. Recent games, they've played a lot better. You can't take them lightly, and there were the comments there by Kyle Shanahan how it's their Super Bowl, we better play up to snuff, or we're gonna get our butts kicked. And then after the game, you hear that some of the 49ers players said they didn't play with the same intensity. I mean, you always wonder, how does that happen?
It's human nature. It's a natural phenomenon that just you geared up so much for Baltimore and New Orleans, and you have a 4-10 team coming in, and you're like, okay, we need to do this. We don't need to do anything special, and we should beat them. And you played well enough to win, but you just didn't really make any big plays, and it was totally mental. It wasn't, and even the vibe in the stadium was, and it's not just the players. I'm going to say that it's not just the players. It's kind of the fans too. It got loud, and it was You know, it was a good environment, but it even coming into like driving in, like I'm coming in, it's, you know, 3 hours before the game, and I kind of come in, not a whole lot of people tailgating in the parking lot.
You know,
a couple that I drive by, like I just right away got the vibe, like, okay, you know, okay, we can handle this one, but we don't, you know, we don't need to be on edge, you know,
like they were in those other three games. The schedule had those three intense games before that.
Right. Right. You're just not mentally on edge like that. Every play is critical. And I don't know, maybe it was just me. It's just the vibe that I got from the minute I got to the stadium in the morning, you know, and everybody, it's good, but like pregame, the sideline wasn't great, wasn't buzzing. There were a lot of people on the sideline, but just didn't have that playoff buzz or that Sunday night or Monday night buzz. I think it'll have that on Saturday.
After the loss to the Falcons, the 49ers didn't feel like they clinched a playoff berth.
It's mixed emotions right now. I mean, it's always good to, you know, get into the playoffs and everything, but just how it happened, it's tough.
Feels like a loss, you know. We knew the implications of the game, but at the same time, we had to show what we had to show up, and we didn't make enough plays to win the game.
No, it doesn't. But you know, that's something to be proud of, you know. But no, it does not. We would have liked to have been on a victory and have done that. Unfortunately, we didn't. But you know, we're in the dance now, and we got to close out these next 2 weeks and hopefully put ourselves in position for the, you know, a nice road to the Super Bowl.
We're not looking for encouragement, to tell you the truth. I mean, we got a pretty good record, and we feel good about where we're at. And that is cool we're in the playoffs, because that was our goal, to get into that tournament. Now that we're in it, now we want the best situation possible in that tournament. And all we can do for that is win these next two games. So I think when you get to this point of the year and where we're at and what we've done, we're encouraged by one thing right now, and that's winning. And that's what's going to be the rest of this year.
I wish I could play right now. So, yeah. That's a sour taste. I'd love to get out of my mouth right now, but we got 24 hours. Flush it, and we'll be back to work.
That was Jimmy Garoppolo, Fred Warner, Mike McGlinchey, Kyle Shanahan, and George Kittle. More 49ers Extra after this from TPC Harding Park. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Here's the good news, Steve. The 49ers came out of this game with a playoff berth because the Rams lost. They came out of it without any major injuries. They got players that are healing up. They're 11-3, and if they win their last two games against the Rams and the Seahawks, then they are the number one seed again. So even though they dropped to number five, they've got it all in front of them. I mean, so that's the good news about losing a game. I mean, I know the players were just saying that, you know, they didn't feel like they clinched. It was a downer feeling after the game for a lot of the players because they lost this game. But at the same time, when they refocus for the Rams game, they look at it and they say, wait a minute, we, you know, got a great opportunity here in front of us, and we're in the playoffs anyway.
Right, right. I mean, that's the way you have to look at it. I mean, I saw a couple clips of Kyle's post game, and that's kind of the message that I was, you know, getting from him, that how they were looking at it, like, okay, yeah, we should have won that one. We didn't. Move on. It's all in front of us. Need to beat the Rams. Need to go to Seattle and win in a very hostile environment. Could be ugly weather, but they played a couple games this year in ugly weather already and played well. So it's all in front of us. So that's just the way they have to look at it, and get that mental sharpness back again.
There was a little news story out there too about Quan Alexander working out and hoping to come back. And even though he's on injured reserve, and I didn't realize this, that you can come back off injured reserve for the playoffs. And if he's healthy enough, that's a possibility, although I don't know, you know, that he would be healthy enough or if the 49ers would take that chance. Yeah, because he was so valuable to the team.
I didn't know that.
Neither did I. I didn't know until I read this
story. That would be interesting because, you know, you add him back in, and I think that Warner has thrived in these games since Kwon's been gone. I mean, at least he's been around the ball, been all over the ball.
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah.
I thought he was good before. I think the biggest key to me, I mean, that would be great to have Kwon back, no question. You know, have D Ford back will help. To have Sherman back will help. Jaquaski, but I think, obviously, those guys are key, no question. I think the other key is that all the experience, we've talked about this, all the experience that the guys got last year when all these starters were hurt has shown all season, but is now really going to come into play.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we've got a lot of young guys that have gotten experience, and I think it will show up now in these last two games, which are like playoff games, and then the true playoffs. Because we don't want to have to go to Philly, Dallas, or Green Bay. I guess we technically can't go to Green Bay. I don't think.
No.
I guess if we lost two. But I don't think we could. I don't think we could ever fall to the number six seed.
I saw one scenario where they could actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess it could happen, but I don't know if they'd be playing the Packers in that scenario.
We sure don't want to go there. But I don't think we want to go to Philly either. I don't think we want to go either place.
Definitely want the home field if you can.
Let's win two and get the home field throughout.
Yeah. And one of those young players you were talking about, Nick Bosa, you know, he's been so impressive on the field. And I thought after the game, it was very impressive to hear him actually take some blame. I mean, not a lot of guys would do that, would have the accountability that he had. He actually, you know, was saying that he didn't feel like he won enough of his rushes, and he let his teammates down. And let's listen in. Here is what Bosa said to the media after the 49ers lost to the Falcons.
I know I let all of them down, so.
You think you didn't play well?
No. Because I didn't win my rushes. I did the wrong things on a couple plays. I just need to be more of an impact player.
You know, to hear that from a rookie, I just thought that was really mature.
That's very mature. To be able to have that feeling like, okay, I didn't win enough. Yeah. I didn't win enough plays to help us win. I like that a lot. You know, everybody needs to look at it that way.
All right. So like we said, the 49ers really need to win these next two games. You got a Saturday. It's going to be wild again. Maybe that's what it is too. I mean, just the attitude is going to be different at Levi's last regular season home game. You really need to win that game. It's the Rams. Yeah. I mean, you would think that it's really going to be jacked up a little bit more for this Rams game Saturday.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's not, I'll be disappointed. But I'm 99.9% sure that it will be off the charts. You know, from the moment I drive in, you know, 3 hours before the game, I expect to see a lot of people in yellow lot 2 and 3 tailgating. So,
and you talk about a Jekyll and Hyde team in the Rams. They lost to the 49ers earlier this year, 20-7. So they didn't have much offense. But I mean, they have beaten the Seahawks. You know, that was convincing the way they beat the Seahawks on that Monday Night Football game, right? I thought, Sunday night. It was a Sunday night game.
Sunday night.
Yeah, and then they go and get blown out by the Cowboys.
I'm not sure what's going on there other than, you know, other than they had a letdown from a NFC championship year, which is, not necessarily a good sign. I mean, you know, so I mean that would tell me that it was somewhat of a fluke last year. That they, you know, probably need some players in certain spots, and or they needed a little attitude adjustment in the off season.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have their hands full with the 49ers. It's going to be a great game, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah. And, no question.
Yeah, and it's a big one. So hopefully the 49ers win that, and then they look ahead to really one of the best regular season games this year. Basically add on to the earlier one against the Seahawks, because, I mean, that is going to be something else the following Sunday for Week 17.
Yeah, that was – I mean, that Monday night game here was spectacular. The 49ers, I mean, they have had some really good games, win or lose. I mean, Baltimore, Seattle, New Orleans. I mean, this past weekend, they played well. They played really well. And I just think you just got to turn that mental sharpness dial just, you know, another notch up.
Well, they should be ready to go for this one, and we will be ready to talk about it next week. Look forward to it, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. We'll talk again next week, Christmas week, after the 49ers game against the Rams. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.